I cannot kill an archetype. It is my immortality, my reality, my divinity. This is Instant Inspiration, Dr. Herbie L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. I cannot kill an archetype. It is my immortality, my reality, my divinity. Now, what in the heck does archetype mean? What does archetype refer to? What is the archetypal pattern, the prototype pattern, the original pattern, the original design? The dictionary defines healing as returning to our original purity and integrity. So, apparently, we were originally pure and integral. Our integrity was unsullied. Our purity was absolute in every way. Why is it that we are not experiencing that integrity and that purity right now? If it is us, if it is who we are, why are we not experiencing it? Well, the answer is quite simple. I don't know that I fully believe this statement, but it is said we have freedom of choice. And we have the freedom of choice to say yes or no, or come or go, or whatever we want to do. We have the freedom of choice to do that. This is the statement that is made. However, a divine being has no freedom of choice. There is only to be. Now, if we want to not be a divine being, we can't very well not be a divine being, but if we want to pretend that we're not a divine being, then we go into the pretend world of illusions and we say that we are not divine. We say that we are limited. We say that we are not very nice and not very good and not very complete. Now you say, how can we say those things when they're not true? Well, that's because we call ourselves human. Now, as long as we're a human being, we have the freedom to play games. And as long as we're a human being, we have the freedom to win and lose the games. As long as we're human, we have the freedom to tell great big whopper lies and pay the price for it. Of course, we don't really pay the price for the lie. We pay the price for not telling the truth. Because a lie cannot of itself be of any value. It cannot of itself be right or wrong. Because a lie is incorrect. So therefore it cannot be right or wrong. Now, what is right or wrong? What is right or wrong is the simple thing of living whatever is for our highest and our best. Now, let's just think about that. What would our archetypal body be? Just the body. Well, in this dimension, the archetypal body appears to be flesh and blood and bones and hands and feet and you know, shoulders and heart and lungs and all that good stuff. And that appears to be what the archetypal human is. But as an archetypal human, the eyes are always perfect. The blood is always perfect. The heart is always functioning perfectly, forever and ever and ever and ever, never wearing out. Everything about the body is perfect. Now, can you conceive of such a body? You'd like to, but can you conceive of such a body? And the answer is no, 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 100 times no. Because we can conceive of a wretched body, but not a perfect body. Why is it that we can conceive of a wretched body, a not nice body that is imperfect, and we cannot conceive of a perfect body? Because we have never created ourselves the illusion of a perfect body. Because we say it's incorrect to say, I am whole and perfect, when you're not. it's incorrect to say that my body is a temple of the living spirit. Every organ, action, function of my body is perfect right now and always, when it is not. I mean, it is just logically impossible to do that because we don't want to believe it. We see the appearances, we see the illusions, and we don't want to believe it. Now, if you were to take, I said this in Farmington, New Mexico to one lady. I said, how would you like it to come to work for me and raise 12 test tube children who don't know anything, who only know what you tell them? And you're going to tell them that they are the Christ child, that they're ideal, they're perfect, they're beautiful. You're going to tell them everything they do is good, everything they think is good, everything they want is good. And she says, oh, not me. I'm not getting involved in raising children anymore. I've had my share. But you see, she forgot. It's not raising children. It is guiding, if you will, the Christ light to shine. And can you imagine having a driving school teaching driving to people who don't want to learn driving? That would be a living hell, wouldn't it? Now, can you imagine having a driving school teaching people who are eager and interested in learning, who just cannot wait to get to the class the next day to get the next lesson? Wow, 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 this is so fascinating and so good. What kind of students do you think those would be? Dedicated students who pay attention to everything you say, who listen and watch everything you do, and pay attention in every possible way, what kind of students would they be? They'd be outstanding students. Now, that's just in driving. And that only took enthusiasm. It only took delight in learning it. Now, could we teach people to be delighted in learning things? Many times we say, well, I was never good in mathematics either, you know. If the kid is struggling, then Papa or Mama says, I was never good in mathematics then either. If the kid hates history, history has no value. And you see, now if the parent, instead of saying those things, would say, yeah, I just bought some more stocks and bonds, and the stocks are running at this, and the bonds are running at this, and I have the opportunity to have this kind of return and this kind of a bring back from my stocks and bonds, but if I didn't know mathematics, I couldn't figure that out. I wouldn't be aware of that. And if I'm not aware of that, then I can't bring that to pass. Now, what am I going to do next? Well, learn mathematics. I have a very great desire to learn mathematics because I want to understand how my finances are coming. Now, I can have all the money in the world and keep spending it and spend it for great big things, and pretty soon there's nothing left because I didn't know mathematics. But I don't say this to my child. I just say to my child, well, now, what do you think I should do? I have the opportunity to invest in bonds, and they will bring me a 3%, maybe 4% return on a steady, definite basis over the long run. Now, I could invest in stock, and I could get as high as maybe 20% return. And I could even go higher than that if I want to take really risky stuff. Now, if I take moderately risky stuff, I have a pretty good chance of earning anywhere between 8 and 20% interest. And, you know, it might mess me up a little here or there, but I have the chance. Now, what would be the benefit for me investing in bonds at 5%, or investing in something greater which has between 8 and 20% return? Now, how much more am I going to get back by investing it in the 8 to 20%, or how much am I going to get back for the 5%? So now, I want to know what the 5% is going to be, and I want to know what the 8% is, the 10, the 20, you know, to get a little feeling in there. Now, my 5% return is going to bring me back maybe $4,000 a year investment return, which is pretty good. And that's just from bonds. Now, when I go into my 8 to 20%, I am now going to go in and I'm going to experience $8,000 a year up to $50,000 a year. Wow, so much. Well, yeah, when you start getting up into the 20% area, you're really, you know, humping the butter there. You're really getting a lot of good. So, what do you think I should do, son? Well, you know, Dad, you've always been conservative, and you've always been successful, and you've never had to worry about stocks and bonds because you built yourself a good program, a portfolio, which sort of picked itself up and laid itself down when it needed to. But you know, Dad, I never could figure out how you did that. That takes a lot of intelligence. And the father says, no, it doesn't take a lot of intelligence. It just takes knowing mathematics. And if I didn't know mathematics, I couldn't do it. I did not know part of this, so I went to school. You went to school, Dad? Yeah, I went to school. And I took a course in mathematics for business people, you know, relative to investments and stuff like that. They have special courses for that. And that's why I was able to pick it up so quickly. I also had a very big interest in it. I wanted to earn as much money as I can from my investments. Oh my gosh, that sounds interesting, you know. Well, now, look, just go over it with me here. Now, let's sit down here at the computer. Let's figure out how much money I have invested in the bonds. And let's say, even just hypothetical, I have $10,000 invested in 5% bonds. What's that going to bring me? Well, now, when you deal with 10s and 20s and 30s, it's easier than when you deal with a little mishmash. So then, say $10,000. Okay, now, if I put that same $10,000 in stock at 8%, in stock at 10, in stock at 15, stock at 20, what am I going to get back? And how much is the risk of this? How strong has this company been over the years? What sort of, but Dad, that's so complex. No, it's not complex once you do it. Once you do it and see your way through it, it's very easy. Now, it's an archetypal way of doing it. You use mathematics and you use it in a very simple, beautiful way. And then what the youngster is doing, he is taking himself a responsibility for the household budget, you might say, to make a good talk with his father as to what would be the most beneficial things to do. So, is he revealing his archetypal magnificence, his archetypal genius, archetypal awareness of the field of mathematics? Yeah, making a good start on it. Will he ever achieve mastery of that field of mathematics? Depends on how long his interest remains here. Now, what did I say?
How long his interest remains there.
It's not how intelligent he is, not how much of a genius he is, but how long his interest is there. And if his interest is there, he will pay attention to how to do it. And he will do it very well. Now, that should be quite simple, right? Yet, that's all it takes, is our interest, our attitude, our attention to whatever it is we're doing to reveal our archetypal self. And when we have an interest in our archetypal self, we begin to reveal it in very beautiful, very significant ways. Now, do you have an interest in your archetypal self? And the answer still must be no. Because if you had an interest in your archetypal self, you'd be spending every moment that you're available to spend thinking about your archetypal self and what it means and how to express it. Because all that it takes is attention, is interest, is attitude about our archetypal self. And when we put that attitude to it, our interest to it, then we find that our archetypal self is our immortality, our reality, and our divinity. We find that our archetypal self is the revelation of all that is good and beautiful and true about us. Now, do you want to be your archetypal self? Do you want to express the archetypal reality that you are? If you do, you will no longer use such words as I can't, I don't know how. You'll be using words, yes, let's see now, I do this by doing that. Just simple little statements of how you do it. No argument with yourself, no guesswork, just flow with it. And when you do that, the answer is there. I cannot kill an archetype. I cannot kill my love of life, but I can certainly enhance it by enthusiastically following it. And our ability to do mathematics, our ability to do anything in any field at all, you don't have to be a genius to do it. Just have an interest. And when you have an interest, your archetypal begins to flow outward in beautiful, beautiful ways. I cannot kill an archetype. Believe it, you cannot. It's our reality. I love you, I love you, I love you, and have a wonderful evening.